Let's pray. Father, help us to leave this morning knowing and understanding what faith is. And I pray, Lord, it might change the way we live. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been in an argument with someone? You're arguing with someone, maybe it's your spouse. And you say to your spouse, I don't know what you want. I just don't know what you want anymore. I don't understand. I don't know what you want. Or have you ever said to someone, or at least thought in your head, I wish they would do this for me, but I'm not going to tell them what I want, because if I tell them what I want, then they're only going to do it because I told them, and I don't want that to happen. So you go around walking and knowing what you want, but you're not willing to tell the other person because if you do, then they're only doing it because you told them. You know what? Tell them. If you have a friend or a spouse and you want them to do something for you, just tell them so they know. They know what your desires are. They know what you want. Openly communicate. You know what? That's exactly what God has done for us. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess what God wants us to do. God has made it very clear. And I want you to underline it in your Bible this morning. Go to verse 6. And if I were you, I would underline these words. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. In those verses, God tells us exactly what we need to do if we're going to please Him. We need to have faith. Charlie Brown and Linus were talking about their problems, and Linus said, I guess it's wrong always to be worrying about tomorrow. Maybe we should think only about today. Charlie Brown replied, no, that's giving up. I'm still hoping that yesterday will get better. I would say that if we were to look at lives this morning, there's a great chance that most of us really are not living by faith. There's a great chance that most of us are not living our lives based in faith. And if that be true, then that would mean that with our lives, we are not pleasing God. In fact, the opposite of faith is fear. So let me ask you this morning, do you tend to be controlled by fear? If you do, then you're not walking in faith. And you're not pleasing God. In fact, listen to it stated this way. Doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes, faith answers, I. We often hear people say, you got to have faith. And often those people say that have no idea what they're talking about. Some people just walk around and say, oh, I got faith. And if you were asking what they mean by that, they wouldn't know. They certainly wouldn't know what the Bible has to say about it. So what I want to do this morning is to break in our study on 1 Corinthians and kind of for a few weeks get away from 1 Corinthians, and I want us to think about something. If we are going to please God, we must have faith. And if we don't, then we are living a life that is not pleasing God. Now, if we're going to have faith, we need to know what faith is. And I would dare say that most people walking the streets would not be able to define it. So I would like this morning to define faith for you. And as we define it and understand what it is, then we can look at our own lives and ask ourselves, well, is that true of me? In fact, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to give you four C's to make it easy to remember. Four C's so that you can remember what faith is and so that you can clearly define it for your own life. Number one, faith is a confidence. Faith is a confidence. Look with me at verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. That word, sure, can be translated confidence. And it comes from two different words. One word that means under, and the other word which means to stand. And it carries the idea that of that which stands under something. That which stands beneath something. For example, if you live in a house, underneath your house is the foundation. The foundation is that thing that which stands underneath your house and makes your house sure, makes your house solid, gives your house the confidence to kind of stay together. It's being sure of something. Having a confidence that something will last, something will happen. It's that which provides the basis for trust and reliance. It was the basis of a guarantee of a transaction. So we might say faith is the title deed of things hoped for. Listen to these statements about faith. Faith is not wishful longing that something may come to pass in an uncertain tomorrow. True faith is an absolute certainty. Jim Elliot, you remember the missionary who had been killed by Indians, put it this way. To believe is to act as though a thing were so. Mere saying a thing is so is no proof of my believing it. You know, people make statements all the time about Christianity, about their life. But it doesn't really mean that they believe it. True biblical faith is not an emotional kind of wishful thinking. It is an inner conviction based on the Word of God and based on a relationship with God. So let me give you a simple definition of what faith is. Faith, simply stated, is believing that God will keep His word. Faith is believing that God will keep His word. Faith says, God said it, that settles it. Faith says, it's there, I believe it. Faith is believing that God will keep His word. Faith is believing that if God said it, it will happen. Notice, it is being sure of what we hope for. It is a confidence that God will give us the things that He has said based on His word. Let me give you a couple examples this morning. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want you to notice with me verse 13. Romans 10:13. Maybe you know this verse by heart. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you believe that? Says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it's not talking about a phony call. It's not talking about a call that doesn't understand what someone is doing, but it's talking about a call based in repentance, a call that understands what they mean when they ask God to save them. But God says that when we call and we believe with our heart that His death on the cross is the payment for our sin, and we call on Jesus and we ask Him to save us from our sin, the Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
I believe that.
And I believe that so much that I do not doubt where I will go if I die tomorrow. You know, the great thing when I stood beside the grave of Sam Tallow, great thing was that I knew that he wasn't there. He was in heaven. And so was an Althea. And I got to stand with his son and his daughter-in-law and talk to them about the reality of him being in heaven. Connie and I talked about, can you imagine? Althea is walking around on the streets of gold and someone taps her on the shoulder and says, hey, there's Sam. And Sam, for the first time in years, recognizes Althea. And they go over and to another spot and they sing together in God's great choir. See, I don't doubt that if you call on the name of the Lord, that you shall be saved. Believe that with all my heart. I believe it by faith. Faith says, if God said it, that settles it. Faith says that God will keep his word. Faith believes that God does not lie. Faith believes God. And faith is based in God. And faith looks at God and says, I know who God is, I understand who God is, and because of who God is, I believe he will keep his word. And I know that he can. Martin, would you come here a second? Let me demonstrate this. Turn around. Turn that way. Yep. Oh, that way. Face that way. Now, when I click my finger, what I want you to do is fall backwards, and I'm going to catch you. Why not?
Where's Simon?
Thanks. Faith says that I know God will keep his word, and I know that God can keep his word. And therefore, by faith, I trust God. I wouldn't trust me either to catch him. I was going to let him fall. See, faith has to have a valid object, and the object of our faith is none other than God. And I know, knowing God, that God will keep his word, and I know that God can keep his word. Therefore, I trust him. And when God says something, and I don't by faith believe what God has said, do you know what I'm doing? Do you know what you're doing? We are calling God a liar. Every time that God says, I'm going to do this for you, and we sit back and say, oh, I don't think so. We're saying, God, you're a liar. We are attacking the credibility of God. And we are saying, God, I don't believe you, I don't trust you. And God says, look, if you're not going to trust me, if you're not going to believe what I told you, then how could I ever speak well of you? How could you ever please me? You can't. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Faith is taking God at his word and believing that God will keep his word. So when God says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, we believe it. Let me give you another one. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, I want you to know, as we read this passage, the context is, if you go back to verse 25 and you read through verse 33, the context is that of God supplying our needs, of giving us the food we need, of giving us the clothes we need to wear, that God is going to supply our needs. So he says, if you will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then God promises to meet your need. Let me ask you, with all the uncertainty going on in our economy, are you trusting God to meet your need? Now, if you're going to trust God to meet your need, first you got to do the first part of it, which is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then once you're doing that, God says, look, if you're putting me first in your life, I will meet your need. Do you believe that? Or do you stay up and worry at night over your job or over your finances? Now, if you're not putting God first in your life, you can't expect God to meet your need, because God says, do this first, then I will do that. So if we put God first in our life, God then says, look, I will meet your need. Believe it? We can go to victory over sin. We can go to so many of the promises that we find in God's word. We can go to so many of the things that God states in his word. See, when God says it, it ought to put a period on the sentence, and we ought to believe it and not doubt it if we're going to please God. Now, faith is having a confidence of the things we hope for. What things might cause doubt in our life? I want you to know, if you don't know God, you're going to have a hard time having real faith. Not knowing God's word, the truths, the principles, the examples, the promises, the circumstances of life. You remember when Peter got out on the boat and he began walking on water, and the Bible says he looked around and he saw the wind and he saw the waves and he began to sink? Have you ever said, God, I know you are great and I know you can do great things, but I don't know about this one? I think some of us lack faith because we've never put ourselves in the place where we needed to trust God. We never take that difficult place. We never walk out and begin to trust God and go through the hard place. We always walk on safe ground. Faith is a confidence that God will do what he said in his word. Number two, faith is a conviction. Faith is a conviction. Notice again verse 1 of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The word certain means a conviction. It is the proof, the verification, the evidence. Certain of what we do not see. Now, in the Greek language, there are two words that we can use for the word not. You're going to learn a little Greek this morning. The one word is the word may. It's like an MN, kind of. That's a word you can use for no or not. There's another word, it's an OU, ooh. Greeks could choose either one of those words. In this passage, the writer of Hebrews chose the word ooh, O-U. That word is stronger than the word M-A, or M-N, may. So we can look at this verse, and here's what the writer is saying. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not, cannot, of what it is impossible to see. Almost like there's a brick wall between me and the thing on the other side, and it is just impossible to be able to see that thing. You know, it is easy for me to believe my wife was going to marry me once she said yes. This is a clear-cut, point-blank negative. Dr. Oswald Sanders said, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. It is the opposite of Thomas' attitude. You remember doubting Thomas? The disciples came to him and they said, "We saw the Lord. We saw him." And Thomas said, "Until I see the nail prints in his hand and his feet, I will not believe." When do you believe God is going to meet your needs? After you get the check? After the bill's been taken care of? When do you believe that God's going to help you out of the circumstance? Only after you get out of the tunnel? Faith is making real what cannot be seen or sensed with our human faculties. It is giving substance or body to what we cannot touch or define. Faith is believing what God said in spite of difficulties. Faith is simply taking God at His word. A schoolmaster gave three students a difficult problem, a math problem they had to solve. After repeated attempts, the first one gave up. He said, "I just can't solve it." Second one went on for a while and said, "Well, there's got to be a solution to this," and he worked and worked until he finally gave up. Third one said, "I don't know the answer to this, and I don't know if I can find the answer, but I know the schoolmaster said that there is an answer, so I will work on." Is that how you treat life? I know all the circumstances of my life and everything around me seems to be a mess, but my God has promised me, therefore I will go on. You know, if you can hold the thing that you're hoping God to do in your hand, then you no longer need faith. In fact, the Bible says that a day is coming when we will not live by faith and hope will disappear. Because one day we will stand in God's presence and we will no longer need faith because the thing we had faith in will be standing in front of us. And we will be in the presence of God in heaven. Faith is a conviction. Faith says, "The Master said it, therefore I will go on." Faith is a conviction based on the promises of God that God will keep His word. Number three. Faith commends. Faith commends. Notice verse 2. That is what the ancients were commended for. The word commend means to approve of, to speak well of. It means to respect. Think about it this way. If you want God to respect you, you have to believe Him. You have to trust them. You have to have faith. If you want God to speak well of you, if you want one day to be walking down the street and God is in heaven and saying, "There goes my servant. I think very well of that one. I have high regard for that one." The Bible said faith is the thing that commends us to God. Faith commends us to God. It's been put this way. Faith is not simply one way to please God. It is the only way. Faith and discouragement are opposites. Faith is taking God at His word, no matter how bleak the circumstances appear to be. Discouragement is focusing on distressing circumstances in spite of what God has said. Learn to trust God. Believe when you cannot see, hear, or feel, then you will know that you are pleasing God. Years ago, this church met in an office building. In fact, it was the second office building we had met in since 1994. And Garrity's, the Mrs. Garrity, who owns the Garrity stores all around, decided she was going to buy the building we were meeting in. And we were going to be kicked out. And a lot of people were all nervous about what was going to happen, what was going on, what are we going to do, and where are we going to meet, and how are we going to deal with this? And those who sat in that meeting will remember that one person sat there and said, while everyone was getting nervous, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Trust God. And that was my wife. Trust God. Turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 14. Let me show you how important this thing, faith, is. Matthew chapter 14. I want to begin reading in verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go out ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Now, why don't you think for a moment? There are only two guys in the history of this world that ever walked on water. One of them was God, and the other was Peter. Have you ever walked on water? Think about it. Peter got out of the boat because he saw the Lord and he walked on water. Man, if I was sitting in the boat, I would turn and I would look at Peter and say, "I wish I had faith like him." Man, what great faith. We need more guys like him. He went out there and he walked on water. Man, only Jesus did that. But as he walked on water, he looked at the wind, he saw the waves, and he began to sink, and he cried out to Jesus, "Save me." And then notice verse 31. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" You know, the only one who really got rebuked that night was Peter. And he was the only one who walked on water. "Peter, why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith." You know, we look at our lives and we look at what we do and we often say, "I wish I could do more for God. I wish I could do great things for God." Well, when are you going to start trusting God? When are you going to start believing God? When are you going to start living your life and stop being afraid all the time? When are you going to start pleasing God? God is pleased when we live by faith. And the rest of this chapter is all about men and women who live by faith. Their faith caused them to do great things for God. Well, there's a fourth thing. Notice verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Number 4. Faith confirmed. Faith confirmed. Belief in creation, as stated in the Bible, in the Word of God, is the thing that confirms our faith. Remember, faith is trusting God for the things that we hope for, trusting God for the things that we cannot see. The great debate is between evolution and creation. Great debates arise over how we all got here. I believe that God created the universe. I believe that because God said it. And that's all I need. I believe it, even if all the science were to stand against what the Bible says, I would still believe the Bible. Even if some new scientific discovery came out tomorrow and it just disproved the Bible without any difficulty. It was certain, it was absolute, and science said there's no way the Bible could be true. You know what? I would still believe the Bible because God said it. Faith is the foundational issue, faith in creation. We were not there, we did not see God do it, but we believe by faith. Let me say, I believe there's much in science that proves creation, that God created this universe. There are many great scientists who were creationists. And I believe there's just as much proof, in fact, more, that this universe got started because God said so, and not because of a Big Bang. I could give you legitimate scientific arguments this morning, but the reality is I believe it because God said so. That's enough for me. This great chapter on faith begins with the fact that God is the creator of the universe. And if you turn to Romans chapter 4, don't do it now, but if you turn to Romans chapter 4 and 5, what you see is John being brought up to heaven and all the people bowing down before God and worshiping God, and it tells us why they are. They worship God because he is the creator. Faith is a confidence that God will give us what we are trusting him for. It is a conviction that no matter how impossible it seems, it will be done simply because God said so. Faith pleases God because it says to God, I believe you, I trust you. Lack of faith, fear, displeases God because it says to God, I don't believe you. How do you know if a person has faith? Find the person who lives by the book. Find the person who says, whatever it is said in here, I'm going to do it no matter what. Find the person who says, I'm going to obey God, I'm going to follow God for one simple reason, because I find it in this book. Because the end result of faith is action. It's obedience. How do you know if someone has little faith? Find the person who lives by fear. Find the person who makes all kinds of excuses why they can't obey the Bible in this circumstance. And then you will find the person who really just doesn't trust God. If you want God to speak well of you, you must live by faith. You must believe that when God says it, that's all you need. It's been settled. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be here this morning and you may be saying of yourself that you are living life not by faith but by fear. You need to know if you're living your life that way, you're not pleasing God. If you're here this morning and you know you need to do things different, you just need to begin trusting God. If that is you this morning, with no one looking around, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Yes, who else? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to trust God. I need to believe God. I need to be person of the book. Help me to live my life so that all I got to do is see it in God's word and that's enough for me. Is anyone else? Father, you've seen these hands and you know these hearts. I pray, Lord, that you might encourage all of these people to trust you. Help them, Lord, to live their life based on your word. Help them, Father, to realize that when you say it, that's enough. Help them to understand that your word has always proved true. So help them, Father, to be people of the book who obey you because that's what you ask for. And I pray, Lord, in that, that all of us would please you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.